Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It is cold. It is dry. The ice thickening up. Anglers chomping at the bit. Steve Kearney joins us. SteveKearneyOutdoors.com. And, Steve, this is prime time. It doesn't get any better than this, does it?
Well, it's cold enough. It's 10 below up here in northwestern Minnesota. And, it's not pretty out there. It's supposed to be 12, 14 below tonight. And, yeah, we're making ice, but I'm taking a break for a couple days and letting this kind of try to pass through. And there's still a few hardcore people out there. And, actually, there were a lot of people that took their hard houses off last week when we had that standing water, and they haven't put them back out yet, but I think at the end of the week they probably will. But it looks like we're going to have some great ice through January and February, the way it's going. And, it's setting up to be really perfect.
Yeah, dry, cold week. Things will moderate a bit toward the end of the week. And I'll tell you what, with no major snow event, by next weekend, even with highs in the teens and 20s and those winds die down, it could really be outstanding.
Yeah, you know, we are missing a little bit of snow cover, Steve. You know, we need a little bit of snow to bank up our portables and, you know, keep the heat, in. And we just haven't been able to do that. It's just all glare ice. And you try to set up on a snow patch if you can. But we really need some snow. It'd be nice to get a little bit of 4 or 5 inches maybe to give us a little bit of cover. And it's really affecting the fish. I've been in like 5 feet of water, believe it or not. And it's just amazing the fish that you see. And I'm sight fishing. What that means is I'm not even using my electronics. I'm so shallow that, some of us believe that beam from the electronics going down really affects those fish, especially in 5 feet of water. So we're going with the naked eye, looking down the hole, and it's amazing the fish that you see swim by and don't even touch your bait. Dogfish, northern pike, walleyes, panfish, it's just amazing the fish that are cruising by. But it's been kind of a, early morning, late evening thing because we've had so much sun penetration, which, really affects it during the day, especially when it's sunny. But a little bit of snow would be really helpful. And, I think this shallow pattern will probably hold up for a while. And they're going to start, migrating out to the deeper areas. And, it's just sort of typical for January. But, yeah, we need a little bit of snow. Not a lot of snow, but a little bit of snow would be really welcome.
Yeah, and once again, this is, hour by hour, the ice thickening up, so it wouldn't be a nightmare. By the way, to give folks an idea, quite a bit colder as you head to the north and to the northwest. Fargo Moore ahead right now, 1 below actual air temp. A wind chill stands at 19 below, so bitter cold settling in. But as I mentioned, in the coming week, things moderate. And really, in the outdoors right now, Steve, it is all about the ice fishing.
Yeah, it really is. And when things moderate and we get, 15 degrees, then it really brings the people out. And it's, it's kind of tough at, single digits when you're in a portable trying to stay warm. I mean, you can do it, but
Yeah. It's
a little bit of torture. But, once we come around to 12, 13, 14 degrees, then the legions come out and the hard houses come out. And I think you're going to see a big push of people with big ice castles and big hard houses going out this week. And, there's people driving pretty much everywhere with vehicles, which, again, I don't really recommend it because, the ice is never 100% safe. But I do recommend that you take a chart plotter with you. And a chart plotter is what we have in our boats, which, gives you a trail feature. And what that trail feature does is you can put this unit in your truck, plug it into your cigarette lighter, and you can go out with your vehicle if you choose, or an ATV and a snowmobile, and go out to where you're fishing, and then you can follow the trail back, especially after dark. And that's really important. You want to be able to take that same trail back that you took on the way out to make sure it's safe. And that's where that chart plotter, you know, really works well. Just take it out of your boat and, you know, put it in the ATV, use a 12-volt connector, and you're good to go. And it gives you a little bit of confidence, especially after dark when you're coming off the ice, because it can be, you know, a little bit spooky after dark.
Yeah, and Steve, one of the reminders is no ice is ever 100% safe. You need to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I don't really like driving a vehicle, Steve, even when there's 20 inches of ice. You know, we have 15, 16 inches of ice right now. I'm just really nervous about a vehicle. I much prefer an ATV or a snowmobile. But again, that chart plotter is really important, and I have a lot of confidence in that. Plus, I've got, you know, waypoints on my chart plotter from spots in the summer that I can get to very easily. So it's really kind of a neat idea. It's a good safety feature, but yeah, it can also get you to your spots, you know, when you need to get there. And I highly recommend it. I think it's a really an important, very good safety tool.
All right. So you're going to hunker down to get through this cold snap and then get back out there. I hope you're stocked up on firewood. That you got a good fire going.
This is not fun. This is kind of a really long stretch here, and it looks like it's going to be, you know, in 12 to 14 below for the next few days in northwestern Minnesota, northern Minnesota, and just going to tough it out. It'll get better, and, you know, we could have 50s at the end of the month. You know, the way things are, you just don't know.
Yeah, who knows? But right now, chilly. Take care. Steve, always good to visit with you. Do it again in 1 week.
Sounds great, Steve. Stay warm.
There he is, Steve Kearney. Steve Kearney Outdoors. And oh, by the way, our outdoors coverage continues on Sunday between 5 and 6. Rob Dreisline from the Outdoor News. Great guest. Tons of wonderful information if you love the outdoors. That is Rob and the Outdoor News Sundays between 5 and 6 here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Quick break. We'll come back. Jez Myers will join us. We'll talk Wild hockey. They found a way. They beat the Caps. Now they get their Hurricanes in Carolina. That's coming up tonight. And once again, Jez Myers from the Pioneer Press joining us here on News Talk 830-WCCO. And as always, a lot going on the local sports scene. We've moved into the new year locally. All the high school winter sports are cranking up. I had a girls' hockey game on Thursday night, and by the end of January, they're moving to section play. So it's going really, really quick. I mean, we're 4 weeks away from the start of girls' hockey sections. And, of course, that's the first of the big winter state tournaments, the girls' state hockey tournament at the XL Energy Center. Of course, the X, home to the Minnesota Wild. Right now, the Wild are on the road. And this Wild team, injuries, people out of the lineup, doesn't matter. They find a way to get a big 2 points in D.C. against the Capitals on Thursday. And now they have the Carolina Hurricanes on the road tonight at 6 o'clock. And Jez Myers joins us from the Pioneer Press. Jez, always good to visit with you, and a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Steve. I've never said this before, but I'm coming at you live from a rink in North Carolina. How about that? For a kid from Wara, this is a new experience, you know, here down in Tobacco Road talking hockey. But hey, here we are, and you're absolutely right about this Minnesota Wild team. What a resilient bunch. The fact that nothing has seemed to faze them lately. Yeah, they went through a little bit of a doldrums right before the holidays. They lost four in a row. But, you know, you take Jared Spurgeon out of the lineup. You take Jake Middleton out of the lineup. You take some key players out of the lineup. Kirill Kaprizov, you know, hasn't played since pre-Christmas. We asked Bill Guerin, you know, are you looking at making a trade? Are you going to go out and get somebody? Are you going to plug some of these holes with some new players? And he said, no, not right now. No reason to. They keep finding ways to collect points, either win or get to overtime and get an extra point or whatever they need to do. So for right now, nobody's hitting the panic button because there's just frankly no need to.
Yeah, and by the way, the Flower gets a win against another legend in D.C., Alexander Ovechkin. And, you know, that's just a 2 points. It just feels like a bonus at this point to start the new year.
I joked about this in my story yesterday in the Pioneer Press, but, you know, it's like the hockey gods seem to have a sense of humor sometimes where, of course, it comes down to Alexander Ovechkin facing Marc-Andre Fleury in a shootout. You know, here's two guys who played against each other dozens of times when Fleury was with the Penguins, you know, in the old Metropolitan Division or whatever it's called. And, you know, they faced each other in the Stanley Cup Final in 2018. And, you know, Ovechkin scores during the game, gets his 871st career goal. And it was his 28th goal against Marc-Andre Fleury, which is more times than he scored against any other goalie out there. And then, of course, it comes down to the two of them in the shootout, and Flower gets the save, and Minnesota gets the win. And even Ovechkin after the game, you know, you talk about a guy who's not going to hang his head. He said, hey, two guys who have played each other for 20 years now, you know, kind of a great personal rivalry between those two. And that was a fun hockey game. And to see the Wild, with everything they're up against, going on the road toe-to-toe against a team like Washington in their building, and coming away with 2 points, that was about as impressive of a performance as I've seen this season.
Well, and at the moment, there are 55 points tops in the East, so that's no joke to be able to go in there and get a point, let alone two. That's a big deal.
This is a good Washington team. They've retooled kind of around Alexander Ovechkin. You know, they've been without TJ Oshie, the local star, all season. He's dealing with a back problem, and you know, we certainly hope he'll play again, but, you know, toward the end of his career, you wonder how many more games he's got left in him. But this is a Washington team that's very good. And it was kind of a fun scene. I mean, they packed that building right in the middle of downtown D.C., and everybody wears red. And then, of course, this being Washington, a lot of Wild fans there because folks like to come out. It's a tourist destination. It's a place you can take your kids and show them a lot of stuff. And, you know, friends of mine who are lobbyists who work in D.C. but are from Minnesota originally, you know, they're at the game wearing their Wild jerseys. So, you know, everybody's got a rooting interest there. It was a fun scene.
Yeah. And another good team tonight in Raleigh against Carolina. And, you know, as a kid from War Road, you mentioned that right at the top, being able to cover hockey in North Carolina. In some ways, I still consider this the Hartford Whalers. That's how long I've been around.
You know, it's funny. Similar to all the Minnesota North Star stuff you see around the Twin Cities now. And I joke about the fact that you see more North Stars apparel today than you did when they were playing, which is maybe one of the reasons the North Stars wound up leaving. They have got a whole shop in this arena dedicated just to Whalers gear. That logo and those colors and all of that remain so popular that, you know, sad that they had to leave Hartford. But I will say this, hockey has been a huge success in this part of the country. And you talk about a beautiful part of the world. I mean, I hadn't been to Raleigh before today, and, you know, I had a little time. I drove over to Durham, and I saw, you know, the home of the Durham Bulls and Crash Davis. And then, of course, I had to go to Cameron Indoor Stadium, you know, one of the legendary venues in all of college basketball. Unfortunately, the Duke women were practicing, so they wouldn't let you in the arena to actually see the place. But walked around the Duke campus a little bit. Man, this is just a beautiful area of the world. Oh. So you can see why people want to live here. You can see why people want to retire here. And, you know, a lot of northern transplants and the fact that they've won a Stanley Cup here. Hockey's pretty popular in the Carolinas, believe it or not.
Well, and not that far away in Charlotte, the Golden Gopher football team got a win in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. P.J. Fleck got the Mayo Bath following the game. Good win for the Golden Gophers, 24-10 last night. And Charlotte's gorgeous as well. I mean, it is a beautiful part of the world. I couldn't agree more.
I'm debating whether I go over to Harris Teeter or Publix or, you know, one of the local grocery stores. Do I go get myself a jar of Duke's Mayo to bring home on the plane with me? Should that be part of my trip to Carolina? I don't think the Pioneer Press is going to allow me to put it on the expense report because I don't think I can justify that as a business-related expense. But I do feel like, you know, I got some barbecue. I got some really good fried chicken while I was here. I do feel like I should bring some Duke's Mayo back home, right?
No doubt, load up. I would go so far as to get another bag, pay for another bag, and bring that home as like souvenirs. It would sell like hotcakes, that Duke's Mayo in these parts right now.
Absolutely. Man, if you watched the broadcast last night, they had a lot of fun with the announcers, you know, putting putting mayo on ice cream and, you know, putting it on stuff that you don't really think of as, you know, things that you would put mayo on. But man, I've been at the Carolinas twice now since October. I went to South Carolina on a vacation. Now I'm in North Carolina. Another part of this part of the country that is underrated is the food here is just fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Let's get back down to business, Carolina, tonight. Get us up to date, if you will, on that uncomfortably large injury report for this club. Where does it stand, Jess?
Well, there's kind of good news, which could have been really bad news, but Jared Spurgeon got hurt in that in that game against Nashville on New Year's Eve. Just a nasty, nasty hit. And the player that did it wound up getting suspended for 3 games. Now, you know, happy that there's some punishment, but as Bill Guerin pointed out, the punishment certainly doesn't fit the crime in his opinion, because he said, you know, they lose their guy for three games and we lose our guy potentially for 3 weeks or more. So that's maybe the good news in all of that, is there was an MRI done in the Twin Cities and Jared Spurgeon is injured, but he's not injured as badly as it could have been. And they expect him back maybe later this month, but definitely later this season. It's not a season-ending injury. So that's good news for him. Jake Middleton, the other kind of veteran defenseman that they've been missing for about a month now, with a hand injury, has started skating, has started shooting pucks. He's itching to get back on the ice. So I would expect that we will see Jake Middleton returning sometime here in the next week, maybe 2 weeks tops. But I'm optimistic. I think it'll be sooner than that. And then the big one is Kirill Kaprizov, and still some mystery shrouding that one. It's a lower body injury. That's all they'll say about it. You know, Mike Russo from The Athletic asked for more specifics from Bill Guerin on what exactly the injury is, and Guerin said, you know, I'm not going to talk about that. That's something they're keeping pretty private. But he hasn't been skating much, and that's got to be a concern, the fact that he's not even getting out and working out whatever the lower body injury is. So still waiting on that one. And one thing Bill Guerin has asked all of us is he said, you know, I'll come to you. I'll tell you when there's news. You know, we don't need to ask every day, hey, what's up with Kirill? Because when there's news, they'll share it with us, and they've been very clear about that. So to all the listeners out there and to all the readers in the Pioneer Press, as soon as there's news, I will share it, but there's just nothing new right now.
Yeah, so silence on Kirill. And, you know, beyond that, there is that talk about, you know, his future long term, because he has clearly shown to this point prior to the injury that he is an elite goal scorer in this league, and we know the elite goal scorers get paid.
You know, and that was one thing that struck me today too, talking to some of the Hurricanes and some of the broadcasters that cover the team here in Carolina. To a man, everybody asked the Minnesota media, what's up with Kirill? How's he doing? You really get a sense of just how much respect he has around the league, and how much kind of reverence, you know, having just covered Alex Ovechkin, you really get to see that Kirill Kaprizov is kind of drifting into that territory where he is not only a marquee attraction for the Minnesota Wild, but he's a marquee attraction NHL-wide with a ton of kind of reverence among other teams and fans around the league.
And they are going to be road warriors, just 5 home games in the month of January for this club. So they have been very good on the road. That's been well established. We've talked about it, but that's not a lot of home cooking for this team.
Well, you know, they come home on Tuesday. They've got St. Louis, and then Thursday at Colorado. So a couple of home games this week, but then right back on the road again. San Jose, Vegas, back-to-back. And, man, I mentioned this in the story I did around Christmas time, but I don't know who made the schedule makers angry, but these back-to-backs on back-to-back nights where you got to play in 2 different cities are just crazy to me. The fact that they're in San Jose on Saturday night and then they're in Vegas on Sunday, you know, just less than 24 hours later in some cases. Those are tough grinds. They get 1 game at home against Edmonton, and you got to be looking for revenge there just for the simple fact that Edmonton beat them 7-1 the last time they were in the Twin Cities, or maybe it was 6-1. In either case, it was pretty lopsided. And then right back for another 2-gamer on the road, Nashville and Colorado. So, yeah, you're right. You know, for those of us who travel with the team on a fairly regular basis, hotel points and airline miles are becoming a big factor in our lives this month.
Yeah, it looks like it'll even out in February, but then we know the X is busy, particularly early in March with the Boys State Hockey Tournament. So they'll spend some time on the road end of February, early March. State wrestling's in there as well, so Not a lot of home cooking for the Wild. Once again, just 5 home games this month. But tonight in Raleigh, Jess, always great. Look forward to your coverage in the Pioneer Press and online at TwinCities.com.
Thank you, Steve. Always great to talk hockey. Have a great rest of your weekend.
All right, there he is, Jess Myers, joining us from the Pioneer Press. And by the way, he joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Quick break. We'll update the weather, and then we'll talk football. One of the last bowl games of the year, actually the last bowl game of the year, not including FCS championship game and the college football playoff, was last night in Charlotte, the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Congrats to the Golden Gophers. We'll talk a little bit about that. North Dakota State plays for the title on Monday night down in Texas. And then we'll talk college football playoff and NFL. Right now, the Ravens all over the Browns, 14-0, midway through quarter number 2 in Baltimore. 2 games in the NFL today, and then they'll wrap up the regular season tomorrow. And, of course, the finale tomorrow night, Sunday Night Football, Vikes-Lions from Detroit. That's all on the way here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. A year ago, we got a huge break. Really, the winter that wasn't. And during the week, I go out and do games for a streaming service, local cable TV, etc. So I'll do high school hoops, high school hockey. I think I've got a swim meet later this month that I'm doing on local cable TV. Anyway, I usually leave my bag. I've got a backpack where I keep all my papers. I do prep. I know it's hard for some to believe, but I have my prep in there. And then I'll typically have maybe a bottle of water or a snack that I'll bring. And sometimes I'll drink part of the water and then leave it in the bag. And in this time of year, when it does get cold, I'll find a frozen block. Fortunately, though, it's never exploded in my bag. But Lindsey Brown, our producer, you had a mishap with something freezing in your vehicle. I just saw the photo. I am so bummed out for you. What a mess.
Oh, my God, Steve. I walked up to my driver's side window this morning with some spotted things on the window. I'm like, what happened here? Did, like, a bird just have an issue? I thought they all left.
Like, get in the car and have an issue everywhere.
Well, I just didn't know what the spotting was on the outside or the inside. And I opened up my door. I'm like, oh, my God. And if you want to see this, I've actually tweeted out the same video I sent to you, Steve. You can find it at Lindsey Brown 35, spelled with an EY at the end because that's what the normal peeps do. But I left a full can of unopened Diet Coke in my car, and it exploded. And I've never actually seen it happen in real life. But my desert adventure for 5 years is certainly showing on me today.
Right. Yeah, you would just get in there. It wouldn't explode. It would just be 150 degrees.
Correct. It would start boiling. So don't leave anything in there. Don't touch any metal during the summer because it will give you a pretty nice burn. But this was a different lesson that I had to learn this morning. And I was thinking, you know, well, it's frozen. It'll be fine for the day until I realized I had to drive to work and then put it in a parking garage. So I'm sure it's all melted down by now. And so I'm in the market for a car detailing service and/or any sort of advice to make this as painless as possible.
Here's the good news. In my experience with Diet Coke spills, because that's my beverage of choice.
Oh, you're a fellow addict. Excellent. I'm glad I'm among friends.
Yeah. I've got one right here.
Nope. So do I, Steve.
Yeah.
Yes.
Imagine that. But I always quit by 6 p.m. Yeah, I have a standing rule, no Diet Coke after 6 p.m. But I will say this, the good news with spills over the years in vehicles, et cetera, with the no sugar in it, it's a lot easier to clean up.
This is true.
I mean, it's not like if you had a Mountain Dew or a regular Coke explode in your vehicle. That's a whole
nother
problem.
Imagine the Mountain Dew? The bees might come out of their comb in the winter. That's how much sugar that would be all over that car. You're right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not sure what aspartame looks like in its dried up state, but either way, it just looks like a foam thing exploded in my car. and I got some work to do.
Yeah, you do have work to do. I saw that, and I'm like, oh, no. What a bummer. And that just reminded me, because I had a really good game last night on NSPN.TV. I had Totino Grace, ranked number 6, perennial power, in 3A boys hoops. They were at Creighton Durham Hall, unbeaten, number 1 in 4A.
Oh, Battle of the Catholics. Fieldhouse. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was over at Joe Maurer Fieldhouse, and I've got quite a few of their games this year, and I've done quite a few of their games last year. So I get over there, and I got all the way into the building. I'm climbing the bleachers, and I'm like, oh, I forgot to grab something to drink. And I stopped on the bleachers, opened my backpack, and go, oh, there's water in there. That's the water I was referring to out of the game.
That's not about usable half, at this point.
Yeah, half consumed and frozen solid. I wasn't able to draw any liquid out of there till halftime.
Oh, and it you're finally smashing it on the benches enough. Next to you, just trying to break the water molecules down just a little bit.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, I'm thirsty. I need something. Will this melt? And I was just too lazy to climb because the bleachers are really high. At Joe Maurer Fieldhouse at Creighton Durham Hall. So I was too lazy to go down there and really didn't have time before the start of the game. And then halftime's are relatively short. So it was kind of like I was just staring at this thing almost the entire game. Would you please melt? Would you please melt?
Right.
There has to be some
sort of boiler that they can put it next to. But then again, it is a Joe Maurer Fieldhouse, so I don't think they're letting anything get too old around that.
Yeah,
there was no
heat vent near us, so it was just kind of like, and the computers, they don't create a lot of heat anymore.
No.
So I was just playing the old waiting game. By the way, Creighton Durham Hall won it. Good ball game last night. Totino Grace will be heard from in 3A, and then in 4A. The Raiders are loaded as they move to 9-0 on that. All right, we're going to get into some football. I just want to talk a little bit college football, and then we'll talk more pro football. There's two games today in the NFL. Right now, Baltimore leading Cleveland. It is the old Browns against the new Browns today. But the final regular old bowl game was the Duke's Mayo Bowl. In Charlotte last night, won by the Golden Gophers 24-10. It was 21-10 at the half. Gophers tack on a field goal in the fourth. Max Brosmer, really nice year. He went 18-29, 211 yards in the game, threw a touchdown, threw a pick that could have been bad, didn't turn out to hurt him, and the Gophers finished the year 8-5. I will say this, and it's not sour grapes. I'm not trying to be negative. But this year could have been so much more for the Golden Gophers. I'm not saying they should have been a playoff team because their 7-5 regular season speaks for itself. But they left games on the table this year, and they beat Virginia Tech. Congrats to P.J. Fleck, the staff, the Golden Gophers, all the players, Max Brosmer. But if you look at the year and what's frustrating – that loss to North Carolina in the opener really hurts. They had a dreadful second and a half against Iowa. They probably should have won at Michigan and did everything but win over the Wolverines at the Big House. Then there's the game at Rutgers. And I know everyone's saying, well, Rutgers turned out to be not that bad. I thought the Gophers played poorly all day in Piscataway. They let one get away against Penn State. And we know what Penn State has done this year. And then, of course, they were able to take care of business and get Paul Bunyan's axe. But if you look at this year, they finish 8-5. But it could have been so much more, especially with the fifth-year senior quarterback, Max Brosmer, who played really, really well. So, congrats on the win, but I'll leave it at that. Quick break. We'll come back. A little more college football, and then we'll talk NFL. Two games today, and then, of course, the big one tomorrow night. Vikes, Lions, Ford Field in Detroit. All of that on the way here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Gophers win the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Good night. good win, 8-5 finish for the Golden Gophers. We'll talk more about that tomorrow on the Huddle, Pete Najeri and Dave Schwartz between 10 and noon. There are just four games in college football left this year. FCS Championship at Toyota Stadium in Frisco, Texas, Monday night at 6 o'clock. North Dakota State, Montana State, that'll be on ESPN. And good for them. Primetime game Monday night, no NFL. That is a good showcase as the Bison try and win another title. Then next Thursday, Notre Dame, Penn State at Hard Rock Stadium down in Miami Gardens, Florida. One semifinal. The other semifinal, Ohio State and Texas at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. Well, that worked out well for the Longhorns. I know from Arlington down to Austin, it's a bit of a haul, but so there it is, Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, Texas, and once again, the championship game coming up on Monday, January 20th. And that is a long wait, but I know they don't want to go head-to-head with the NFL on the weekend. And by the way, the title game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. So that's it remaining in college football. I think there was a lot of hand-wringing about those first-round games. You have a 12-team playoff. And, oh, there were blowouts and this and that. I think in general, the playoff has been good. 12 seems to be a good number. We've seen some good games. We've seen some drama. Texas-Arizona State was phenomenal. I don't know what more you could want. Ohio State's blowout of Oregon, but that Texas-Arizona State, that was really good. And I hope we get good games. That's all I really care about. I have no rooting interest other than I want to be entertained and I want to see good games. Lindsay, I don't know how you feel about it, but among these teams, I would probably say my first choice not to win it all is Notre Dame. Then it would be Ohio State, Penn State, and Texas. So does that make Texas my favorite? Not really, but I just want to see good games.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Well, and you've been getting good games at least from the Big Ten halves of the matchups, right? I think that's kind
of the
big signal that we've seen over the last couple of weeks, where you've had all of this steam behind the SEC for the better part of two decades, and they've just gotten their clocks cleaned across the board. And so it's fun, though, Steve. I like the fact that it's kind of wide open. I like the fact that Ohio State has a chance to go and chase that chip, especially after getting beat in their own building for the game this year against Michigan. That I'm rooting for just from the narrative standpoint and for my own bias, because
sure,
I threw up in a few trash cans on High Street back in my day. But I just think it's great for the sport if you're just a fan. But in terms of the players, in terms of the coach, like, there's a lot of wild westery that still has to be dealt with. But it's sure fun right now.
Yeah, and you look at the numbers, Texas a 5, Ohio State an 8, Penn State a 6, Notre Dame a 7 seed. And I know that is what it is, but you make a great point about the SEC. Texas, a newcomer to the SEC, you can almost still call them a Big 12 team for all practical purposes, officially an SEC team. But yeah, you got perennial powers, familiar names there, but no Alabama. No Georgia, and we'll see how it plays out. Once again, I hope the games are good later in the week. Not a very good game right now in Baltimore. Switching to the NFL, Baltimore leading Cleveland 14-3, late second quarter, and the Ravens with the win today clinch the division. If they get beat, the Steelers could win and clinch the division, but right now, Baltimore in control over a bad Cleveland team right now in Baltimore. Weather looks pretty good there. And then tonight, another AFC North tilt. Bengals Steelers go at it in Pittsburgh. They call it something else now. It used to be Heinz Field, and that is a 7 o'clock start. All the other games coming up on Sunday, Vikes, Lions, this has been written about and analyzed all week. Hours and hours and hours of analysis. One thing we do know, Lions are beat up defensively, but they can score points. Very potent offense. I was shocked. And you can look at the line to glean one thing. For an NFL game, 56 is a big number. I don't think it's high enough. And as a rule, don't gamble on sports. But that still doesn't seem like enough in a game where I told Shaletta, it feels like these teams could combine for 70 tomorrow night. Now, we know how that plays out, turnovers, et cetera, defensive schemes. But the Lions are beat up defensively. And I don't think, all due respect to Brian Flores and the Vikings,
Steve,
that they're going to be able to slow them down and hold them down. I think the Vikes could outscore them, but the Vikings aren't going to win a 21-17 game.
Yeah, it depends on those play actions, on those dink and dunk plays, and how well you're going to tackle. Because maybe they send the blitz, but maybe Jared Goff has those eyes of steel and manages the timing and just throws it right over the heads. But either way, fundamentals reign supreme, Steve.
I think it'll come right down to the end, flip a coin, 35-31, pick the winner. Good stuff. Home field advantage for the winner. On the road for the first round of the playoffs for the loser. The news and weather next.